Today we're talking about forgiveness, and I'm glad that you're here for it. Most importantly, we're going to talk about three signs that maybe you actually haven't forgiven someone, and we're going to talk about how to change that. The reason why I think this is important is because I see this a lot in my coaching clients. I've seen it in my own life where they've said to me, I do forgive them. I have forgiven them. But if we dig a little bit deeper, there are some things still attached. There are some big emotions, big responses, big reactions, and most importantly, beliefs that we're still carrying about ourselves and possibly about them, which can actually kind of tell us, well, have I really forgiven them? I know just in church culture or Christian culture, I should say, is yes, biblically, forgiveness, 100%. But we don't always know what that means, and we don't always know how to walk it out. This podcast isn't about what forgiveness means. I have done many podcasts on it. However, I do have a biblical study on forgiveness that talks about all of this. So you can go to jessicahuddle.com/shop. You can shop all my biblical studies. I have biblical studies on, I have one coming out on boundaries. I have forgiveness, stress and anxiety, anger. I have a beginner's guide to studying the Bible. So if you like something that's short, quick, that has a biblical perspective, clinical perspective, and most importantly, practical perspective, you're going to love the biblical studies that I've written. However, this one is really to kind of bring awareness, because I want you to look a little bit deeper. I want you just to say, hey, like, have I forgiven this person? Or am I still really holding on to something that maybe I need to talk about, that maybe I need to work through? So that's what we're going to talk about today. There are a lot of beliefs, as I've stated, around forgiveness. But I think one of the most important ones is that when we forgive someone, we think we're letting them off the hook. And it hurts too much to think that we have let somebody off the hook, right? And that's not true forgiveness, but our pain convinces us that it does mean that. Now, again, I'm not talking about what forgiveness is or isn't, but I think on the other hand, we tell ourselves that we've forgiven them because we are told to forgive. It's the standard. But again, we don't really know, like, have I? I mean, I said that I've forgiven this person. Does that mean I've forgiven them? So I'm going to break that down just in two different steps, the two different ways that we can forgive. The first one is decisional forgiveness. This type of forgiveness involves this deliberate, conscious decision to forgive someone, regardless of the emotions that we feel. It's a cognitive choice to let go of resentment, anger, desire, revenge, all of that towards the person that has wronged us. It's this decision to not necessarily involve changing the emotions, though, okay, or restoring trust in the other person. Instead, it focuses on the releasing, the beginning phase of releasing negative feelings and moving forward without holding on to grudges. You have to get to the place that you actually decide to forgive. This is important. Secondly, emotional forgiveness. It's two parts, because I can say all day long, I forgive you, but we can't erase the event that's happened. So there's emotions, there's things attached to that event that we have to renew and work through. So the emotional forgiveness goes beyond the decision to forgive and genuinely shifts into our emotional response to the person who hurt us. It consists of processing or walking through the negative emotions such as anger, bitterness, resentment, and replacing them with positive emotions such as empathy, compassion, understanding. And this is, again, there's a lot of beliefs. So I'm not underscoring, I'm just giving you some basic definitions: decisional forgiveness, emotional forgiveness. And the emotional piece of forgiveness is often takes a lot of processing, working through the hurt and the pain caused by the offense. Unlike decisional forgiveness, emotional forgiveness involves transforming feelings toward the person who hurt us. And that then can lead us to the restored trust and a renewed relationship if both parties agree and want that. So, with that being said, decisional forgiveness, emotional forgiveness, have we actually forgiven? So here's three signs. If you're wondering, if you're in that category, like I've said, I've forgiven, maybe I don't know. Well, here, let's think about these. But most importantly, before we move any further, I just want to ask you if any of these sound familiar. If you've ever asked yourself these questions, if God loves me, then why did this happen to me? Why can't I control my emotions or reactions? What's wrong with me for still feeling this way? Why do I feel so distant from God in my pain? If you have ever thought about these questions or said them to yourself, you're not alone. I see you, I hear you, and I want you to know that there's hope. As a Christian mental health coach and trauma-informed coach, I'm here to help you untangle those thoughts that are holding you back. I don't just teach these strategies, I've lived them. I know what it's like to wrestle with pain, doubt, overwhelm, but I also know that healing is possible. Here, you will get to the root of your struggles. You don't have to stay stuck. Book a free 20-minute consultation with me by going to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching, or wherever you're listening to this episode, just go to the show notes, click the link that says book free 20-minute consultation, and it will take you right to the form to fill out. Hey friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. The first sign that you know that maybe you haven't forgiven them is you keep replaying the hurt. I want to share how this kind of shows up. You mentally rehearse what happened over and over. You have imaginary conversations where you defend yourself or prove your point. The person's name or presence just alone stirs like this anger, sadness, resentment. So, where are you at here? Check in. From a clinical perspective, when we keep replaying hurt, it activates our nervous system because our brains don't really know if it's like physically happening in the present, or if this is something that has happened. But when we constantly relive it, our bodies are thinking it's happening in the moment. So it's keeping you in a state of emotional distress. And our brains treat emotional pain like physical pain. So reliving it keeps the wound open, and our bodies are going to respond to it. It's how we carry our tension and our stress, shoulders, in our jaw, in our forehead. We carry it everywhere. Digestion, we see it in chronic inflammation, we see it in chronic stress. All of this starts to impact our body. But if you look at it from a biblical insight, Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So we keep bringing up the offense in our mind. We aren't covering it. We're holding on to it. Again, do you keep replaying the hurt? Does that person's name, if somebody just even says a name, not even like that person, they're not even talking about that person, but they have the same name as that person that hurt you, that could be a sign that there's still a process of forgiveness. Number two, you avoid or feel bitter toward the person. So this is how this shows up. You avoid conversations, places, or events where they might be. You're saying to yourself, like, I forgive you, but I mean, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. So even if you don't say anything, resentment builds in your heart. You feel irritated by their successes or happiness is another way it shows up. Now, I always have to be clear, is if it's abuse or something that has happened, yes, you need to create space. Okay. You don't want to be where they are. 100% natural. I get that. It's when we say that we have forgiven them. Okay. Remember the context of the podcast. Three signs that you actually haven't forgiven someone. That's what we're talking about. So if we are saying that we are forgiving somebody and this is what we're doing, maybe we still have some processing to do. So again, you might, the sign number two is you avoid or you feel better. So that means you might avoid the places that they go. Even if you don't say anything, again, resentment builds in the heart or you feel irritated by their success or happiness. This is one that I've worked through a lot with different coaching clients because we talk about forgiveness, but they don't want to talk about it maybe with the person that was involved, or they've forgiven so many times. And then they just eventually start avoiding the person. And so I know that there's still not the full forgiveness there, that there's still some more processing, still some more hurt to be worked through. So from a clinical perspective, we can kind of look at this as even a form of self-protection, right? Of I need to stay away. Because if we really look at it, we don't want to be around somebody. We don't want to hear their name. But again, the context of the podcast is about, have I forgiven them? So another way from a clinical perspective is bitterness leads to stress, anxiety, and even physical health issues. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So forgiveness does not mean that trust is restored, but it does mean releasing bitterness. So this is a very big challenge of how to change it, is we get to pray for that person. We can see that in Matthew 5:44. Yeah, that one's tough. That one's tough for my own life, okay? We've been here. I'm not saying this is easy. Our flesh hates it. Another way we can start to work towards it, healing, is taking small practical steps toward that healing. Maybe that means writing a letter, even if you don't send it. I have a couple different coaching clients that needed to have some resolution with some things that are going on in relationships. And writing a letter and reading it, even if they're not here right now, you can, you know, go visit them at a gravesite and read the letter. There's so many different ways that we can find healing. That's not always just the conversation, especially if they're still not here. We can speak blessings. Ugh, that one sounds hard, doesn't it? Over them, even if you don't feel like it yet. But praying for that person, it is hard to be condemning them and saying all the things if we're praying. Now, again, there's a lot of layers to this. I'm not saying right off the bat, you got to start praying for a person that has hurt you so bad. Baby steps here, baby steps. Number three, the third sign, you're waiting for an apology or for them to get what they deserve, air quotes. How this shows up is that you feel like they owe you an apology or an acknowledgement of the pain that they hurt, like the pain that they caused. And sometimes it comes, other times it doesn't. The second way it shows up is you secretly hope for them to experience consequences for their actions. You struggle with trusting others because of what they did. This is really huge. I think this is one of the biggest signs. Well, all of these are really important signs for us to check in. Like, have I forgiven this person? What am I still holding on to? And how is this impacting me? From a clinical perspective, holding out for an apology, it just keeps you stuck. Because we're waiting on the other person to fulfill a void that they may never be able to fulfill. And so what happens is we're becoming dependent on them to meet an emotional need that they might not be able to give us. And if we're waiting for justice, that can cause that ongoing stress and emotional turmoil because we want it to be done our way. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. True freedom comes when we trust God as the ultimate judge. And for a lot of us and a lot of my coaching clients, that trust word is tough because sometimes what's been intermingled in that is spiritual manipulation. I've seen it with, you know, coaching clients and their marriages and their spouse. So I get this. This is not a one-way answer to change things, but we do have to remind, if we're going to change it, that forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. That in order to change this, we need to release the need for closure and trust God with the outcome. I will often talk with my coaching clients about creating closure for yourself, closing your loop of pain. Lastly, asking God to help you let it go. And a lot of this is not going to be when we feel like it. That's the thing. Because we would sometimes rather hold on to our pain and lord it over somebody, even though that person is probably sleeping sound at night and you're not, because we feel like that gives us some kind of control. So again, three signs. One, you keep replaying the hurt. Two, you avoid or feel bitter toward the person. Three, you're waiting for an apology or for them to get what they deserve. I wanted to create this podcast because I just wanted a moment of self-reflection to say, I've said I've forgiven them. But if anything, I want you to know that it's okay to have pain and to move beyond just the words of, I forgive them, because so many people maybe have told you that and you felt like, okay, I know I need to. It's biblical. Yes, biblical, 100%. I always tell my clients, we're getting there. We're getting to that person. We're getting to the biblical. They know I'm all for forgiveness, but sometimes it just takes us a minute to get there because you have to decide to get there of where you're going to lay down pain and know that you're handing over to God what was owed to you. And if you need help working through this even further, working through forgiveness or getting to that point, book a free consultation with me. Let me help you get unstuck. Forgiveness is a process. It's not a one-time decision. And if you recognize one of these signs in your own life, just don't be discouraged. I always say, anytime something comes up, it's always an invitation from God to go deeper, period. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me a message on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, share with a friend. But more importantly, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.